Welcome into the FWFB Football Podcast with a best ball focus. I'm your host, Mike Alexander, a.k.a. Roto-Wan. Joining me tonight, Ray Kuhn. How we doing, Ray?
I'm good, Mike. We're getting closer. We've got some teams with some OTAs, so there's a little bit of news. But, you know, still mainly best ball season, and that's about it. But we're getting closer.
Yeah, mini camps are happening. There's guys skipping voluntary ones, guys saying, you know, I'm skipping the mandatory one coming up. So stuff's happening.
The hype machine's going, that's for sure.
The NFL is ingrained itself 12 months out of the year. There's always something, always news. So if there's news, we've got stuff to analyze.
Exactly. It's not a bad thing.
And you know, as we said, you know, before we jumped on, we've got a best ball focus probably tonight, but this time of year, best ball is football prep. Everything's applicable to your season-long drafts, everything coming up during the year. We'll do a quick review of last week, talk about some free agents, rookies, names, new names and new places. We're going to do a toss-up on Christian McCaffrey as our round two controversial player. And then Ray and I will wrap up with a couple sleepers. We're going to try and do that every week to feed you guys some names that you can grab late. All right. So last week, our primary focus when we're talking about a best ball draft was roster distribution. You want to have 2 to 3 quarterbacks, 5 to 7 running backs, 6 to 9 receivers, 2 to 4 tight ends, 2 to 4 defenses. Somewhere in that, you know, in that range. And those are the proven numbers to win. You know, my emphasis was that you could go a little lighter at something like quarterback and tight end than you feel like you need to. I think people panic a little bit. But, you know, you got to build a roster you're comfortable with. The strategy piece tonight I want to add into that is where you allocate your draft capital. So you take Aaron Rodgers in the 5th round. You just spent a lot on quarterback. You should not touch another quarterback until the last quarter of the draft. You know, if it's a 20-round draft, round 16, 17, that's when you should be getting your next quarterback because they're not going to outplay Aaron Rodgers most weeks. You don't want to, you know, grab a guy in the 10th round when you have Aaron Rodgers. You got to spend that somewhere else. You got to make up for going quarterback at an earlier slot. Same thing with tight end. You know, there are some guys you can't pass up in early rounds. Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, guys like that are, you know, have become proven commodities at tight end. They produce fantasy wise, so you can take them early, but you don't want to pair them with another tight end until much later in the draft. So keep a mind towards that as you're making picks. And same thing with defense. You know, I think we all kind of said last week, rounds 14 through 16 are generally when we start looking at a defense. But if you find yourself in round 12 and you're just, you know, you can't figure out a player you're comfortable with and you know there's going to be a run on defenses before you make your next pick because you're at the turn, I can see taking a top defense. But again, you know, you probably want to wait until rounds 17, 18, 19, to make that second selection for defense or even third.
Yeah, I agree with you on the defense. The quarterback, maybe. All right, so if we're going to take Rodgers round 5, I would maybe look round 12 or 13 to take my second quarterback instead of waiting till round 17. I mean, it's also going under the guise that I'm going to take 3, which we obviously touched on a bunch last week. Then I'm going to take 3 just in case. If one guy has a bye, the other guy's hurt, or to cover yourself if one of your quarterbacks has a bye, the other one has a bad week or something like that, I would probably take 3. I can see the logic to taking 2. But if I'm only going to roll with 2, I would probably want 2 better quarterbacks than waiting to maybe around 17 or 18 where you're taking maybe like an Andy Dalton who's a little more mediocre, or you're going into a situation like maybe in Arizona if you're going to take like Sam Bradford – where potentially he could lose his job, or even a Tyrod Taylor if he loses his job to Mayfield, something like that. I would maybe jump up to like round 12 or 13 to take the second quarterback. And
I'm okay with the right quarterback in the 12th or 13th. I actually did that. I got Rodgers at the end of the sixth round. I just couldn't let him fall any further. And I think I got Mariota in the 12th. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to let somebody have Mariota who – it was quarterbacks were getting pushed down the whole draft. And I said, you know what? I'm going to punish people for sleeping on quarterbacks here. He's too good in the 12th round, in my opinion. And things fell off after him pretty steeply. So I said, let me grab him. Hurt somebody who didn't expect me to take a quarterback.
Exactly. I completely agree with that, too, that you don't want to have someone benefit from waiting. And also, I mean, unless you have your guy locked in at one of the other three positions, I mean, it's really, I guess, just running back and receiver at that point. Unless you're locked in on somebody that, all right, fine, in round 10 or 11, I was between these two guys, and one of these guys actually fell to me, then take him in round 12 or 13. But then I'm not necessarily sure there's really a difference between a receiver you're going to take in rounds 12 or 13 or the receiver you're going to take in round 14. That at that point, it's really just a matter of personal preference too, that I rather just, I mean, quarterback's the safest position as far as points go, which is why we can wait on them so much. And then,
And the difference between, you know, the fifth quarterback and the 15th quarterback of the week is usually very, very close. So, you know, when you extrapolate it at running back, let's say, you know, the 10th running back is usually vastly different than the 30th running back of the week. So that's why we wait on quarterback.
Exactly. No, I definitely agree with waiting. And I mean, just to go to season long for half a second, if I'm taking Rodgers in round five, most likely I'm not taking another quarterback the whole draft. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Oh, right there with you. I never roster a backup quarterback. I never roster a backup tight end. You're going to find guys in season when you've got roster moves. It's a wasted spot. Spend it on a running back that has a chance to pop. You know, running back lottery tickets are the way to go in season long. Use your bench spots for them. You know, receivers too, a little bit. Obviously, it's contextual. If the right guy is there, and again, you know, you don't want to let somebody be rewarded for waiting, and you know. I've got a great feeling about this guy. Okay. One or the other, one backup quarterback or one backup tight end, I'm okay with. But yeah, same thing with defenses. Never back up a defense.
But I mean, that's also the allure of the best ball, aside from getting to do drafts in April, May, and June, is that you don't have to make that roster decision. Uh-huh. Because then it's like, all right, say I draft two quarterbacks, one in round 8, one in round 11. Then it's like, all right, I got to think about who I want to start every week. And not for nothing, you're going to make the wrong decision half the time, even if you're making it. Even if you're one of the best fantasy players, you still, it's easier to have the decision.
I haven't met a person yet who doesn't love the approach of best ball, you know, with automatic rosters. Maybe 1 out of 100 people who's just a curmudgeon, but everybody who plays a best ball that I talk to is like, yeah, I'm playing 5 more of those next year. Cause that's great.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's a little strategy for you. When you're allocating draft capital, and particularly at the single starting positions. All right, so let's jump in with some free agents and new faces here. Why don't we start off with the Bears? I know you had some names you wanted to talk about there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good segue what we're talking about with tight ends. To me, with the strategy that I've kind of found myself passing on the Kelce's and the Ertz, Greg Olson's of the world. Gronk is always an injury concern to me, and so I generally stay away from that. And I also, my personal approach, I don't like taking a tight end in the second or third round anyway, just because I'd rather stock up on the backs and receivers. So Trey Burton is one of those guys that I've been taking around like the 9th, 10th round as sort of not necessarily a flyer, because the guy, he has a starting job. He has an up-and-coming offense with Trubisky over there. Matt Nagy's the new head coach, so it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But in limited time last season with the Eagles when Ertz was injured, I thought Burton definitely showed something. And based on the investment that Chicago made in him, I'm going under the impression that they're going to feature him at least somewhat in the offense.
And Nagy is an Andy Reid disciple. Not only do they feature one tight end, they feature two, three, you know, multiple tight ends in different looks that have the opportunity to catch passes, where most of the NFL is going to bring in a second tight end to block exclusively.
I mean, it's already started. Chicago Sun-Times had an article a few months ago about this, actually, comparing Burton specifically to Kelce. And I think that's another plus in Burton's column is if he's going to play the Kelce role, and they're relatively similar. Kelce is a little bit bigger. They're 40 times in college. I think it was 4.62 for Burton, 4.61 for Kelce. So speed wise is about the same. Kelce obviously has a track record.
He's an outstanding athlete. In college, he played pretty much every skill position. He even played some quarterback. I think he was recruited as a quarterback, if I remember right. And just to give a little context, like as an Eagles fan, I know exactly who Trey Burton is. If you're a DFS player, you probably have familiarity with him because, like you said, those weeks that Ertz was out, he scored touchdowns. But you know, your fringe NFL fan may have no clue what Trey Burton's in store for with this kind of like perfect storm of plus athleticism and offensive system that is going to heavily feature him. So he's way too late in drafts. He's a great option at your first tight end.
In NFL 10's ADP so far, he's the 11th tight end off the board with the 106 ADP. So I'm perfectly fine waiting for that.
Stupid value.
Yeah, I mean, the min pick is 64. So at least one person's catching on a little bit.
Yeah, there's always one min pick that's a little out of the box. People get, you know, they got to get their guy. Some other names in Chicago. The other big name, Allen Robinson, being brought in at wide receiver. They finally have an actual wide receiver one. He seems like he's back from his injury. You know, everything we just talked about with Trey Burton, new offensive system, new coach, new philosophies, that all applies to Robinson. He should be a pretty good bet this year, barring any health issues. But you know, I don't like to fade guys unless they have an actual active injury history, unless it's chronic. And I define chronic as, you know, they've got a foot problem that they've had, you know, many, many times, or concussions. Jordan Reed has a chronic concussion problem. Just because a guy had knee surgery like A-Rob, that maybe makes him slightly more likely. But every single player who steps on an NFL field is at risk for injury. So don't try and project them. It's a losing game.
Yeah, I mean, and also the thing with Robinson is I think there's going to be some value there because he's coming off an injury, and the injury happened early in the year, so people don't have 2017 stats to look at. So I think that works in your advantage. But at the same time, if I'm someone that's locked in on taking Robinson, the fact that his injury happened early in the year means that he's had more rehab time. So he's going to be a little closer to that 12-month mark when the season does start. And I mean, Trubisky showed me some flashes last year that he has a big arm. Robinson's used to playing with a big arm, inconsistent quarterback, and he put up numbers before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's really going to come down to more the offensive line and how they can do to give Trubisky time to throw.
Yeah. Josh Hermsmeyer, who recently, he had bought some NFL data from whoever their provider is. I forget the name of it, but you know, he's a stat guy. He does airyards.com, and he's been pumping out all kinds of great analysis from this data he's got his hands on. The one thing he did today was like success rate of run versus pass in offenses and the percentage of time that they ran and passed comparatively. And Chicago was like the least passing by far, and they had a 50% success rate passing the ball and a 25% success rate running the ball. So like, Trubisky, you know, he's got some potential for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting, I don't know if I would take him as a QB2 in best ball, but as a QB3, that could, you know, if you want to go, I mean, this could also be a different strategy. If you do Rodgers in around 5 and then you take like a Trubisky in round 17 or something like that, if he's still there, and then take somebody else, you know, like an Andy Dalton, like a steady Eddie Andy Dalton in round 18.
Yeah, he's also a great super flex option. You know, if you need two starting quarterbacks, you know, you can get him Well, you know, to be your third or even your, you know, your second, depending how fast they're flying off the board. And then some other wide receiver names. You got Taylor Gabriel coming over from the Falcons. He's a gadget type player. He's getting obvious comparisons to Tyreek Hill. You know, the athleticism is there. The speed is there. We'll see if it translates. But he's not really getting drafted in best ball so far. And that's the kind of like final round pick that I love. A guy that has got a narrative and, you know, is not going to be a middling player if he succeeds. Like if he becomes a part of that offense, he's going to explode. He's not going to be, you know.
No,
I think four for 40.
I know Matt Nagy came out and said he's going to be more than a gadget player. But if you look at the size, obviously the Hill comparisons are there. But Tariq Cohen is – the fact that they have Gabriel and Cohen concerns me a little bit about Gabriel and that they also drafted Anthony Miller in the second round.
Yep. Yeah, he was the next name on the list here. They brought in Anthony Miller. You know, and Kevin White is still there. Whether he plays any actual football, we'll see. But
The Bears could be a sneaky team as far as, you know, as far as all the skill position players. They still have Jordan Howard. And this might bump Jordan Howard up a little bit too. If you're spreading the field out, if you're throwing downfield a little bit more, it might soften up the box for him.
Yeah, because he was facing constant stacked boxes. You know, he doesn't really catch passes, so that really didn't concern opposing defenses and linebackers. It's a good point there. All right, then next team that probably had the biggest makeover was the Cleveland Browns. Brought in Tyrod Taylor at quarterback and drafted Baker Mayfield. Right now, the talk is, you know, Tyrod is putting in extensive hours and he's the leader of the team. All that great offseason verbiage that coordinators and coaches love to throw around. It's good to hear. I'm not going to go nuts for it. I was already fairly high on Tyrod, especially because a lot of people assume he doesn't finish out the year. But as a third quarterback, a really solid option, I think. If you need a guy, and I think we talked about this last show too. I paired him once or twice with Baker Mayfield as well as my second and third quarterback. And you know, your concern on that was valid. It limits your upside.
Well, I think it could work. I think Taylor, I think he's gotten a little bit of a bad rap. I think he, not to say that he's necessarily underrated because he is what he is as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And now this might be crazy to say. You can tell me if I'm wrong here. But I think Taylor has more weapons on the Cleveland Browns than he did with the Bills.
Easily. Yeah. I mean, you know, the one season they took the, you know, the restrictor plate off and let him throw downfield to Sammy Watkins when Watkins was healthy. Like Watkins was going nuts for a stretch there. And, you know, Josh Gordon, off season or off field issues aside, like he's that same deep threat kind of player. So I got big hopes for both of those guys.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think he's not a new face, but I don't think you can overlook Corey Coleman too much because if you have Gordon working one side, David Njoku up the middle, and then Landry on the slants, I think Coleman could be a big beneficiary there.
Yeah, I mean it's the, you know, the concern is there's a lot of mouths to feed, but that Browns defense is not really any better. They still have Greg Williams coaching them. You know, the game passed him by in the 90s. Like he's an old school. Let's just hit them harder and we'll win the football game. You know, it doesn't work anymore. You got to be smart. And he is not. He's the guy who orchestrated Bounty Gate, if you're unfamiliar.
Yeah. The more I think about it, the more I'm on board with Taylor move, but I'm kind of getting off Mayfield a little bit. The more I think about it, thinking that, all right, maybe if, you know, Taylor completed 62-63% of his passes with the Bills the 3 years that he was the starter, he's a little bit of a rushing threat, obviously, that I wouldn't surprise me to see Taylor keep the job all season.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that Hugh learned his lesson, and he's not going to play musical chairs week to week with quarterback. He's going to have some continuity there. If Tyrod plays himself out of the position halfway through the season, fine. But you got to give him an extended chance, you know, new player, new offense. You can't be yanking them back and forth like they did with Kaiser last year. I think the GM is a little more stable. They have a new GM this year, obviously, with a big part of this makeover. You brought in Jarvis Landry via trade. You mentioned that. He's a really nice option. I think he's going to do what he always did, eat up targets in the middle of the field, you know, 5 to 7 yards from the line of scrimmage. He's probably not going to see the same touchdown upside that he has with the Dolphins, but you know, he can still be a really consistent player with a great floor. And then, you know, they drafted Nick Chubb. They brought in Carlos Hyde. You know, that's a jammed up backfield with those two. And what's
Duke
his name?
They also have Duke Johnson.
Yeah, Duke Johnson. Yep, that's who I'm thinking of. Yeah, Duke is probably going to be in the same role again as a passing down specialist. I'm okay with his price. He's still a little bit expensive. You know, it's tough to buy satellites because you're counting on the team staying bad and having to throw to, you know, get back into a game. But I think we can count on that pretty well with the Browns here. Chubb and Hyde, I'm really split on. Like they went out and got Hyde for some reason, obviously, but Chubb is definitely a better, you know, running back. I think it's Hyde's job to start the year. Wouldn't surprise me if by like, you know, week six, we start to see Chubb take that over.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. Honest, I can't figure out where I am on this. Cause I mean, they spent a second round pick on Chubb. Talent wise, he's the best out of the three. Mm-hmm. Johnson's going to get his, but I mean, Hyde can catch passes too. Obvious. I mean, he caught 59 passes last year, but I think that was more a product of San Francisco and the way their offense was set up. But it's almost one of those backfields that I want to stay away for that I don't want to try to figure out between Hyde and Johnson, that I almost want to just take the lottery pick on Chubb and say, all right, like you said, maybe week six or seven, he gets a job and just runs away with it. And that's the end of it.
Yeah, because he's a beast. I was in a best ball recently, and I was going kind of a zero running back strategy, and both of those guys fell really late. And you know, I finally had to pull the trigger on Hyde, and I think it was the seventh round, maybe eighth round. I said, okay, you know, it's a couple rounds past his value. Let me go ahead and grab him. I need it. And then Chubb was still there a couple rounds later, and I said, you know what? He's better than any other option I have. Let me put them together. It's best ball. You know, I'll have the Cleveland running back, or at least the bell cow Cleveland running back portion. So you know, like you say, you got to be careful limiting your upside. But if Chubb takes over that position, I get the stats of the starter, and then hopefully
I think Johnson is the one that I think might end the season with the least value or sees the biggest not to his value, because now also if you have Landry there, I'm not sure you're going to throw the ball 74 times to Johnson.
Yeah. Yep. I'm fine with Duke Johnson in a best ball scenario because his weeks that he plays well are hard to predict, but yeah, season long Duke, he's a tough guy to decide. Do I start him or not? Are the Browns going to fall really far behind? And even at that, are they going to throw it to him even if he's in the game? All right, next team I wanted to talk about here, the Redskins. They had a makeover too. They bring Alex Smith in. They let Kirk Cousins go. They bring in Paul Richardson at wide receiver. They draft Darius Geis. So a lot of new offensive faces here. I like Alex Smith. I think he gets a bad rap as kind of a safe quarterback. Last year, he finally had a play caller who let him take some shots and was very successful, especially in the first half of the season. He was QB1 for a while. How do you feel on Alex Smith?
He's one of those guys that I'm okay with taking as my safe backup in a best ball, but he's probably not someone I'm even going to target. Mm-hmm. And again, I might just be unfair to him, to tell you the truth, because he's shown that he's not a number one overall pick. He hasn't had that kind of career. But all in all, he's had a solid enough career where, I mean, last year he threw for over 4,000 yards, and it was like 500 yards more than he had thrown for in the last 2 years, and it was easily his career high. So he obviously had good timing with that. But he doesn't necessarily turn the ball over that much. He moves the chains. It's going to depend more on the offense. I like him. They have a lot of receivers that can kind of go either way. I think Crowder is a solid slot guy. Richardson is a boomer bust. And I mean, they gave him $20 million of guaranteed money, which I think could go down as being a mistake. And obviously the million-dollar question, does Jordan Reed stay healthy? I think that could potentially swing Smith, that if the chips around him start to fall down, maybe he's not going to be as prolific from a fantasy perspective.
Right. Yeah, this is one of the most uncertain, like, touches and targets situations in the NFL. You know, like you said, Jordan Reed, who knows? I don't think he's participating right now because of off-season surgery. Vernon Davis, he kind of got too old last year and wasn't the player he was the year before filling in for Reed. You've got this receiver mix with, you know, unproven guys or guys that are, you know, that they haven't had that number one role like Josh Doctson and Paul Richardson here. They've shown flashes, but that and Crowder coming off of a really bad year. So, you know, who knows who's going to be good on this team? You know, for me, if you're going to buy into the offense, though, Alex Smith is kind of the centerpiece of it. And he's the ball distributor. So I'm okay with him. Like you said, he's really cheap as a second quarterback. And I think you get some upside because that defense is slightly improved. But, man, they're like one or two key injuries away from being a really bad defense again and having to get into shootouts like they did at times last year when Kirk Cousins started to pop.
Yeah,
what do you think about Geis?
All right, first, so if we're going to talk about Geis, I got to ask, did you see the video of him the other day?
In like the off-season drills?
Of him hurtling like a person in a trash can.
Yep.
I mean, physically, the guy is an absolute beast. And I feel like it's just, here we go again with the feature back in Washington. We tried it with Rod Kelly, tried it with, I think it was Matt Jones, and then P. Ryan last year. So it's kind of like, here we go again. Geis is the next name, the next guy. I think from a skill perspective, he's better than all those other guys. I think he's better than Alfred Morris was as well. I think he's better than everyone. It's obviously the character concerns that made him slip to the second round of the draft. From fantasy perspective, we don't necessarily care about the character concerns, only to the extent that it limits, if it does limit his carries with Washington, and I'm not sure that it does.
Yeah, I don't know he's going to come out of the gate with the job, but he's got a shot to win it, and it's not hard to consolidate with guys like P. Ryan in front of you. You know, Chris Thompson will probably secure his third down role, but Geis, you know, has shown to be an apt pass catcher plus athlete. You know, it's if you're playing the long game, Geis is a good option.
Yeah, I think Thompson's value stays the same.
Yeah, and I'm only interested in Thompson from a best ball standpoint. I know he had a great season. That's probably, you know, one of his all time seasons before even taking the injury into consideration, but it's just hard to predict. Again, another satellite back without a consistent role. They need to be behind for him to be in it. So great best ball option, should be back healthy and eased in as the season goes. You had mentioned Deion Lewis is a guy in a new place. Who do you like better in that backfield, Deion Lewis or Derrick Henry?
I like Henry better.
Really?
I mean, Lewis better. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm on the same page.
Henry, I was trying to say two things at the same time. Henry is being drafted ahead of Lewis, but I like Lewis better than Henry regardless.
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard trusting a guy leaving the Patriots, especially at running back. But I think that the Titans signed him understanding how to use him. He's not going to be a bell cow back, but he ran the ball effectively with the Patriots. He's got, you know, really good speed and shiftiness. Is definitely a plus pass catcher. And in PPR settings, which most best balls are at least half PPR, if not full PPR, like MFL 10s, you know, he's the guy that's going to have the lion's share of work. When you add in targets, you know, he may not be getting the third and short rushing opportunities, but you know, I think that's overrated and driving up Henry's price. So I'm there with you. What about the Niners? There's some new names on the Niners here. You got a Jerick McKinnon take?
We talk about somebody that is a riser.
Yeah. Severe riser.
He started off in the third round, and I think I did a search the other night of drafts from May 1st to present, and he was up to about a second, you know, very late second round ADP. So essentially, the moral of the story is if you want Jerick McKinnon, you got to draft him in the second round.
And yeah, end of the second.
And I'm not sure that I'm willing to do that.
Yep. Yeah, it's hit critical mass and started to go past. You know, the narrative is Shanny is an offensive genius. He's going to do what he did in Atlanta. It's year two. And I'm on that page. I agree. He's gotten the offensive line fixed, I think. He's got his quarterback. They've done a little bit at receiver. You know, so I think McKinnon is his guy. They wouldn't have signed him if he wasn't. But, you know, we haven't seen McKinnon be the, you know, the workhorse, the main back on a team yet. So there is some, you know, unknowns there. And there's also some guys that the Niners already like, Matt Breida and Joe Williams, who they drafted last year. You know, they're on the team. It's not out of the question that they siphon carries from McKinnon, especially if he shows any inconsistency. So, yeah, I agree with you. Second round is getting a little too expensive for me. I like him in the third. I think that's the right place for him.
And, I mean, again, it's when we touched on it with Nagy, and Matt Nagy, we're comparing Trey Burton to Travis Kelce, just not from a talent standpoint, but just from a role perspective. It's kind of the same thing now with McKinnon that people – starting to draw parallels between McKinnon and Devonta Freeman. If he's going to play the same type of role. And again, I'm not sure that McKinnon is as good as Freeman is.
No.
And like you said, with Breida and Williams there, I'm not sure that McKinnon's really going to get the carries. I mean, they might start off well-intentioned that, oh, we're going to give him 15 to 20 carries a game. But I'm thinking it's going to end up being more like 10 or 15. And then it's just going to be a volume-based situation in the passing game. Where if you're going to need those 5 to 6 catches per game, and he's going to have to break one or two for at least a decent gain for you to get the points that you need out of your second round pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we said, the offensive line is improved. You know, some not actionable fantasy names, but they've gotten things better in my opinion there. So the running game should be better. See if that defense can keep them in games. One receiver name out there to keep an eye on is Anthony Pettis. They've got him practicing at all three wide receiver positions. He profiles as more of a slot guy, but they've got Trent Taylor there who they like a little bit, and Pettis is a burner. So, you got Garcon, Marquise Goodwin ahead of him, but Goodwin and Garcon have both had injury issues in the recent years. Garcon could be over the hill. So Pettis is a decent flyer, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's really, I think, going to be an all-or-nothing guy. But then what does that do to Goodwin's value?
Yeah, I mean, Goodwin he's an interesting case. He's an air yards darling because he runs deep routes. And when he gets thrown the ball, he's racking up air yards. And you know, if he's able to connect, he's had great games, but he's inconsistent. I think he's going to maintain that role. No, just the buzz around him is maybe a little bit above where I'm comfortable. You know, but I think he'll be an okay player for a best ball scenario. Let's stick in the Bay Area here and talk about the Raiders, who Gruden came in and basically took over as GM. Brought in Doug Martin at running back, Jordy Nelson, traded for who was the Steelers receiver, Martavius Bryant.
Yes.
He's brought in a couple tight ends, offensive linemen. They drafted offensive line. So complete makeover here. Gruden's saying, I know the guys I want, and I'm bringing them in. How do you think the Raiders are going to play? And it's too bad Colin couldn't join us, because I think he would probably be brimming with optimism. But
I mean, I get it. I mean, I think Bryant, we obviously know what Bryant is. We know what he could be. But you have to wonder if his act's going to wear thin, if it's going to wear thin with someone like John Gruden.
Yeah.
I think the level of bounce back that Amari Cooper has, I think, is going to determine a little bit here. I think Nelson does have something left in the tank, but I'm not sure how. But, I mean, Green Bay did, after all, they did let him go. And, I mean, they brought essentially Jimmy Graham in to replace him.
Right.
So, what does that tell you about Nelson at the same time? So, it might be a little unpopular, I mean, at least among Raider fans, but I'm not sure how high I'm really going to be on this offense. The one point that's interesting is Doug Martin, because I think he's going to ultimately take away from Lynch, and Lynch is somebody that I'm probably not even going to consider drafting in any league, because he really didn't impress me that much last year, and now if you bring Martin in on top of that, it's just not doing much for me.
Yeah, it's a very crowded backfield. I think it could be successful from a real-world football standpoint, fantasy standpoint. Really hard to predict. And even in a best ball scenario, you may just not get enough combined carries in this backfield. I think you had tweeted out that it's weird getting Jordy Nelson in the seventh round, but that seems to be where he's going, and I can't seem to resist him. I'm getting him in the seventh, sometimes the early eighth, and
I mean, even if he is halfway done or three quarters done, it's still a healthy Jordy Nelson. I mean, this part of that in the back of my mind of, oh wow, what does Green Bay know since they let him go?
Right.
But I mean, it's still Jordy Nelson. Derek Carr, if he's healthy, he's a good quarterback. He has Amari Cooper on the other side, that I think, especially in that best ball format, that almost any – he's probably good for six to nine touchdowns. And then once – I think any week that he scores a touchdown, most likely he's going to end up being one of your top three receivers.
Yeah. I think Green Bay let him go because of salary concerns, not as much talent wise, it's they couldn't hold on to him and couldn't get a deal worked out. So now he is a Raider. You mentioned Jimmy Graham there going to the Packers though. The Packers and tight ends have not mixed. I took some serious lumps last year on Martellus Bennett. He was, I said, he's going to score touchdowns. You want touchdowns from your tight end. This is the guy to get. He's a great price. And didn't score touchdowns, got injured, which is kind of a bailout for me, but he was not good to start the year. So give me your Jimmy Graham case.
And again, I was in your boat last year on Ben, and I had relatively high hopes for him. And I think I'm going to go back to the well with Jimmy Graham. I think they're going to ultimately use him more in a hybrid tight end wide receiver role. I mean, that's kind of what New Orleans and Seattle have done with him anyway. I think he's going to get a little bit of boost coming out of Seattle. He's obviously not going to go back to the Graham we saw in New Orleans. But, I mean, and the other thing is people say, oh, Aaron Rodgers and tight ends, he really hasn't done much with them. But I mean, when he had Jermichael Finley for a little while when Finley was healthy, Bubba Franks had a little value for some time. Graham's probably the best tight end that Rodgers has ever played with, so I'm not sure that's necessarily an argument that I want to make. That it comes down to it for me, I like Graham, but with an ADP of 68, it's the fifth tight end coming off the board. I'm not sure I'm going to end up with him on any of my teams, because I'd rather drop down and take a Trey Burton or yep. take a flyer that Jordan Reed is healthy, or Jack Doyle, or George Kittle, or somebody like that.
Yeah, he's kind of in the same boat he was when he got healthy with Seattle. It's like, if he's a healthy Jimmy Graham, like, he's a top 50 player. If he's not, he's, you know, a cuttable asset, and there's not too many shades in between. So, you know, it's a tough call and probably too expensive for my taste as well. A couple quarterbacks on the move. You got Kirk Cousins going to the Vikings, like we talked about. I think he's in a great setup with a really good offensive coordinator. John DeFilippo coming over from the Eagles. DeFilippo has been part of some big time quarterback ascendancies, like, yeah, with the Browns there for a little bit when they had Johnny Football and some of that. He helped Carson Wentz get to where he is. He's made multiple stops. Dude knows football. He's finally got his shot as an offensive coordinator, and I think that offense isn't going to miss a beat. They've got weapons. The offensive line should hold up again. And, you know, it's another one of those situations where there's a lot of different, you know, receivers, running backs, got tight end and Kyle Rudolph in the mix. You know, who's going to end up getting the lion's share? The guy distributing it, Kirk Cousins, is where the ball is going to get started. So that's a way to get exposure to the entire offense.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, I like DeFilippo as well. And I mean, if, you know, the Adam Thielens and Stephon Diggs of the world rolled last year, they were without Cook for three quarters of the season. And then, I mean, they did it with Case Keenum at quarterback. Cousins is clearly a better quarterback than him. So from that standpoint, it's obvious it's going to be an offense that I like. And like you said, the best way to target that is to get Cousins, because you're getting shares of everybody in a sense.
Yep. And then he replaced Case Keenum, who went to the Broncos. You know, there's a little bit of risk with Keenum being he's only on a 2-year deal. The Broncos don't view him as probably a long-term solution, but he's going to be asked to do the same thing he did last year. You know, we've got a good defense, manage the game, and if we need you, then we'll open up the offense a little bit. They've always kind of been a conservative offense, so I think that limits his upside, but you know, there's not a lot of price on Case Keenum at the moment. If you're scrambling for a backup and a best ball, you could do worse than Keenum with a safe floor there, I think, most weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he has Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. He definitely has, they drafted Cortland Sutton. So there's definitely some mm-hmm. There's some weapons there for him. And I think he showed me enough last year that I don't necessarily need to downgrade the rest of the offense or anything like that either.
Yeah, he's a game manager, but an apt one, and not overly concerned that he's going to turn the ball over. You probably won't get too many crazy weeks. So he did have some very solid games with the Vikings. And another quarterback, AJ McCarron with the Bills. He's probably my least favorite of the quarterbacks in front of a rookie, though that offensive philosophy in Buffalo is going to be very conservative. They're probably not going to bring Josh Allen into the fold unless things get desperate and they've got nothing to play for. I'm not really into McCarron unless you are absolutely against the wall for a quarterback in a super flex situation.
Yeah, I could not agree more with that sentiment.
Yep. The Rams, they were busy on the trade front. Brought in Dominic Sue on the defense, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters as cornerbacks. That's actionable if you're in a league that has a defense, because Wade Phillips with this talent, you know, Aaron Donald still in the middle. He's going to hold out again, but you know, they'll either get a deal worked out or hopefully he gets out there without too much delay and doesn't have the same hangover he did to start last year. But that's going to be a nasty defense. They've got a really solid offense that protects the ball. It doesn't put their defense in bad situations. Turnovers galore. and scoring opportunities as well with both of those ball hawking corners. So that's one of the top defenses off the board right now.
Yeah, I love to target pick sixes. I love to. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that you can't exactly forecast it, but if
it's a good
matchup, and if I'm between two, and I mean, Peters is one of those guys that you know he's going to come get a few.
Yeah, and you know, Kip Tlaib isn't probably he's past his peak, but I think Phillips knows how to utilize him. He's familiar with him from his time in Denver, and that secondary is going to be good. And then they also traded for Brandon Cooks, who I'm very high on. Got in some Twitter debates recently. He's going fourth round, well down the list of wide receivers. He's gonna outperform it. It's people are frustrated with Cooks because they draft him in the second round and they think they're getting a glitzy wide receiver one. He's a small guy. His touchdown upside is limited. He's got the speed, but it's tough to catch balls deep when you're not, when you're a shorter target. It's just part of the nature of the game. But he does great work. He runs great routes. He's got speed. He gets open, and he's in an offense that is going to know how to utilize him. I think he's going to be better than he was last year. His target share is going to go up. I'm not scared of Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. He's much more talented than either of those guys. He's the wide receiver one there. I'm going to take him in the fourth round all day.
Yeah, so exactly. Sign me up for that. Honestly, Cooks is somebody that I'd take in the third round and be happy with it too. I'm not expecting yeah. second round, and I think there's enough other receivers in the second round that are just plainly better than Cooks. But if you go running back, and you take Cooks in the third round, or if you go back receiver or receiver running back and Cooks, I mean, it's more of if he's the best available for me in the third round, I'm going to take him. It's probably more of
yep,
a later third round for me than an early third round, but nonetheless, I do think he's going to have a good season in LA.
Yeah, definitely. Any other free agents you want to hit while we're on it, Ray?
I think rookies. As far as free agents go, I think we have to talk about Allen Hurns, at least just to mention the fact that he is the number one receiver in Dallas. I mean, he's one of those guys that he had a little bit of value last year when Robinson went down in Jacksonville. I feel like he should have had more value, and people maybe expected more from him than he gave. So I'm not sure that necessarily bodes well for him in Dallas. But I think Hurns is, if you're going to talk about wide receivers four or wide receivers five, He's somebody that I'm going to throw a dart at in best balls just for the fact that target share is there. He is the number one receiver. Jason Witten's also retired. They drafted Michael Gallup, so I think Gallup's another name to kind of keep on your radar. And it could be interesting to watch the chemistry that each of them has with Prescott.
Yeah. It's... My concern on Hurns is Dallas is a conservative offense, but he slots into that deep threat role that Dez couldn't fill last year, and has now left. He's going to pop some games. It's that their defense is still improving. They're not a great defense against a good offensive team like the Philadelphia Eagles. They are going to get left in the dust. And they're going to have to take shots, and he's the only receiver on that team that can get open downfield.
Yeah. I mean, that has to count for something, at least for a few weeks.
Yeah. Especially in a best ball, you don't have to guess. You can roster him, let it come to you. All right. So, let's hit this Christian McCaffrey toss up, and then we'll close with some sleepers. What do you feel about McCaffrey in the second round?
I'm going to grit my teeth about it. I'm not going to be happy about it. I don't know that if I honestly don't – at this point, I don't think I can do it. I think it might be one of those situations where McCaffrey grows on me. I mean, honestly, I was kind of down on him last year, and he did prove himself to me. But if you're going to look at some of the other second-round running backs, you're talking about Dalvin Cook, who played four games in his career. LeSean McCoy, who's aging. Joe Mixon has an ADP of 25. I'm not taking Mixon there. Freeman at 22 is a health concern, and there's Tevin Coleman, and that offense wasn't as strong last year. So, I mean, based on all that, yeah, Christian McCaffrey slots in as a second-round running back. Based on my rankings, it fits the ADP. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather take a wide receiver.
Yeah, I've taken him once so far, and it was – I knew I was going to be tied up when my pick came up in that four-hour window. I set it to auto-pick with my rankings. He was at the top, and I got him. If I was making that pick, I'm probably looking past his name at some other guys. But, you know, the obvious arguments for him are he's got a huge target share. He can do stuff in space. He's not a great runner. I don't know if you saw the picture of him. Cam Newton took some of the Panthers bowling, and you know he's got his arms crossed and he's doing the, you know, put your fists under your biceps, pump up your bicep trick. But even still, like, he looked pretty beastly. He's added some weight there in the off season, so maybe a little bit better running between the tackles than the nothing he provided last year. They brought in C.J. Anderson to fill that role, though. So that's a concern. And, you know, you got North Turner coming in as a new offensive coordinator. How do things gel there? Does anything change? You know, does Cam get along with Norv? Does that offense hum? Does it stall out because Cam does what Cam wants to do and not what his offensive coordinator wants? There's some concerns there.
And the fact that Newton likes to run the ball.
Yeah, too. Yeah. You know, that's every year they say they're going to cut back on that. And every year it just more and more as the season goes, he realizes he has to win the games for his team and does it. Like you said, at the end of the second round, he's a safer bet than a lot of names. I'm okay grabbing him there. I'll have him there in the rankings too, but I have the same feeling as you. It just doesn't feel like a winning pick to me as a second rounder.
Yeah, the rankings say to do it, and I can't jigger the rankings around to not do it. Yep. So, you know, therefore I can't knock somebody that does it, but I just, you know, I'm going to more likely than not end up looking like Mike Evans or, you know, some kind of receiver there.
Exactly, yeah. All right, give me a sleeper to wrap up with here. Somebody late in a draft that is going to provide value that you're liking at this point.
It's going to be a little bit of a homer pick.
Okay.
I'm going to go Quincy Enunwa. I mean, right. I think he fits the definition of a sleeper, the fact that he didn't play at all last year due to injury. Jermaine Kearse came in that offense. Granted, there was, you know, the Jets were trailing, whatever. Kearse caught 65 passes for 810 yards last year. Robbie Anderson also had his piece. Anderson's more of a deep threat. And whether or not he gets suspended, who the heck knows? Enunwa is more of that. They've referred to him as it in the past as that hybrid role. They still don't really have a tight end. I'm not sure if the Jets got the memo that tight end is an offensive position and they're allowed to have one.
Like, they just have it in so long. It's crazy. Through multiple offensive coordinators. I get Chan Gailey doesn't throw to tight ends, but, you know, he was only there a couple of years.
You're not going to get docked. You're not going to lose yardage if you throw to a tight end. And in 2016, Enunwa caught 58 passes for 857 yards. McNown showed he could be solid. So far, if you want to talk about the helium machine, so far, no TAs. Everybody's raving about Sammy Darnold. I'm not sure I could objectively speak about Darnold as being being a Jet fan, but if you know if there's some credence to that, McNown showed me enough last year that he could at least throw the ball in the air downfield. I don't think anybody's going to be thinking about Enunwa. And the last thing is they signed Terrell Pryor. But who knows when Pryor's going to even get on the field.
Yep. Yeah, I actually like Enunwa better if Darnold comes in because, you know, as a young quarterback, like, you know, downfield throws are danger. You know, you're in the NFL now. You're at risk of getting picked. The secondaries are vastly improved. So a guy who does his work out of the slot in the middle of the field, good speed, gets open, you know, with somewhat of ease. You know, sign me up for that, for virtually free. I'm there with you on Onunuma, because you know there's other names in that hat, but something tells me you might be right. He may be the, you know, it'll be modest, but he may have the most production out of any Jets receiver. My guy's going to be Kenneth Dixon, running back for the Ravens. I know the Alex Collins hype train has left the station. I don't disagree with you on Alex Collins. He is a beast. He runs the ball with authority. The problem with him is he's got fumble issues. He had four last year in limited time. It's the reason the Seahawks cut him. You know, the coaching staff definitely, they benched him at different times for fumbles or you know, loose handling of the ball. They didn't trust him in the red zone. He barely got any red zone work. It's going to be such a short pier for him to fall off of. And the next guy up should be Kenneth Dixon. They liked him when they drafted him. He's had bad luck with some suspensions and injuries. He's not going to be 100% to start the year probably, but he'll get there. Buck Allen is in that backfield. Ugh. You know, he'll have his one DFS ruining game, and then everybody will chase him for a little bit. But you know, if Kenneth Dixon realizes any of that potential that he was drafted with, he's extremely late at running back. If you're going to do a zero running back kind of strategy, he makes a great pick. A guy you can wait a few weeks and see what happens with.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm all for throwing darts at running backs. And I mean, there's a bunch of things that line up in his favor.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that offensive line had a tough year last year. They had some injuries, some rookies. They're going to get better. They brought in some talent as well through the draft and, I believe, free agency. Who do they sign? Pulling it up here. James Hurst. He's an okay guard there. You know, they're getting some guys back from injury. So they're that AFC North kind of mentality. We want to run the ball hard, and that's why Alex Collins is popular. But if Collins, you know, loses the opportunity, fumbles the ball, or gets hurt, Kenny Dixon is going to be a quick trigger. Yeah. So, all right, that's what we got time for tonight, guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll get back at you hopefully next week. Talk some. I think we're going to try to fire up the quarterback conversation and see how that shakes out. So, Ray, thanks for being with me.
It's fun, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. I'll catch you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Looking forward to it.